Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis. We're going to be at Genesis 1. Verses 26 through 28. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. As you guys are looking up that verse, just a real quick reminder for those of us who are interested in signing up for summer missions. The deadline is coming up pretty soon, and so please be aware of that. I believe it's the end of January, and so it'll be in the next 2 weeks or so. So please keep that in mind, okay? All right, well, we are off to a very cold start this morning. Had to dig through my closet to look for a sweater because we don't normally wear sweaters, but it's an opportunity, I guess, for us to wear a sweater and kick off this new year. I know that many of you guys are coming back for our students or will be coming back sometime this week. I think classes are starting on Tuesday. Even for those of us who are working, I'm sure you've had an opportunity to spend time with friends and family over the holiday season and are slowly getting back into the rhythm of things again. And so I was thinking about this new year, and I know we're already 2 weeks into the year of 2024, but just even as a church, I was thinking about what is it that we need to focus on as we start off this year and really focus on the second half of our mission, which is to be together on mission, to be a faithful witness, to be a witness in everything that we do. And I wanted to start off this year by talking about stewardship, because I really feel like this is such an important topic for us to understand. And as I was kind of praying for us, as well as for myself and for this upcoming year, and I shared this with our leaders recently, but really the imagery that I kept getting was God just really working in our lives and in our church to continue to sharpen us so that we're not dull in the purposes that God has for us. And so I think he's going to do that in many ways. I think at times it's going to be glorious, fruitful. At times it might feel like God is pruning, and it might at times feel not so pleasant, but God's going to do it so that we're becoming more and more finely honed in the things that he has in store for us. And so I was thinking about that, and I just really feel like he's going to use this topic of stewardship to begin that process of really sharpening us. And so I wanted to start off this new year by talking about stewardship. And part of it is when you think about stewardship, or at least in the context of the church, when we start talking about stewardship, oftentimes we equate stewardship with what? With giving, right? And so it's about tithing, it's about offering, it's about 10%, it's about being generous and so forth. And yes, stewarding over finances, money, resources that we have, it is important. In fact, it's so important that Jesus spoke more about money, our responsibility over the resources that we have, specifically money, as well as just even the temptations that we face when it comes to wealth. He talked about money more than other topics like health. Excuse me, not health, hell, sorry. He talked more about money than about hell in his time with the disciples and teaching God's truth and so forth. And so part of understanding stewardship is we recognize that, yes, stewarding over our money and resources is really important. But when it comes to stewardship, we know that this area or this aspect of stewardship is so much bigger than just our resources, just our money, right? Biblical stewardship, it encompasses more than just how we're going to spend our money and how we're going to do that well. Dr. Tony Evans, he points out that biblical stewardship is about how you choose to spend not only your money, but your time. It's about where you choose to let your thoughts linger. It's what you choose to say. It's how you leverage your position and how you maximize your talents and how these decisions you make, how they dictate the outcomes of your life. Really, the way that you understand stewardship and the way that you engage in stewardship, it's not just about giving 10% to the church, but that's actually going to dictate the outcome of your life. Because biblical stewardship is more than just money, but it's about stewarding our lives. And so when you think about biblical stewardship, I think about it this way. Biblical stewardship is about responsibilities, or the responsibility that God divinely speaks into our lives so that we can faithfully oversee the expansion of his kingdom as we diligently manage all the assets and resources that he entrusts into our care. That's a mouthful, so let me say that again. Biblical stewardship is about the responsibility that God divinely speaks into our lives. So first of all, it's about the responsibility that God speaks into his life. Divinely, you can look at it also as authoritatively. In his reign and rule, God speaks that responsibility into our lives so that we can faithfully oversee the expansion of his kingdom. And so when you think about stewardship, it's not just about us giving money to the church, but it's about us faithfully overseeing the expansion of the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, that was the message that he taught over and over again, that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. And so it's about overseeing the expansion of God's kingdom. How do we do that? As we diligently manage all the assets and resources that he entrusts into our care. The assets, the resources, the time, treasures, and talents. It's how we manage those things so that as we faithfully and diligently manage these assets and resources, that we are overseeing the expansion of his kingdom. And I believe that's what biblical stewardship is. And so it's really this question of how do we live differently so that we're making our lives count for the kingdom of God? So that when you go to work, when you engage in relationships with people around you, For our students, when you go to your classes, when you think about your future, when you wrestle with the things that you daydream about, when you think about even hopes and dreams that we have for this upcoming year, how do we live differently so that we're making all those things count for God's kingdom? It's living as disciples who faithfully steward all the resources and assets that God entrusts into our care. And one of the articles that I was reading, the writer was really emphasizing, Jesus doesn't call us to be stewards, but he calls us to be disciples, and that's true. He says to go and to make disciples of all nations, but to be a disciple means that we grow in our stewardship, right? We faithfully steward that calling that Jesus speaks into our lives. We faithfully steward the relationships that we have with others and telling them about who Christ is. We faithfully steward our hopes and dreams. And so it's about learning to faithfully steward all the resources and assets that God entrusts under our care so that through our care, we see the expansion of God's kingdom. And that's really what we're dreaming about together as a church, right? The expansion of the kingdom of God here on our campus and in our city. And I pray and hope that that's what we're dreaming about in our lives. So that when we think about things like what's going to be my future job or who am I going to marry or where am I going to live? Am I going to have enough resources to afford taking this type of vacation with my kids and so forth? That it's not just about what we are wanting and hoping and dreaming for our lives, but it's about the expansion of the kingdom of God through every resource and asset that God entrusts under our care. And so with that in mind, let's go ahead and read Genesis 1. We'll start here, and then we'll also look at Genesis 2 a little bit. But Genesis 1, 26 through 28 says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Okay? So as we look into this passage for us, the one thing that I want to give us this morning simply is this, that we have been empowered by God to faithfully and diligently manage all the assets and resources under our care. that we have been empowered by God to faithfully and diligently manage all the assets and resources under our care. Okay? So when you think about biblical stewardship, I think we need to think about it, at least in this verse. I see this in these four ways. First of all, we think about stewardship in the context of relationship. And then secondly, in the context of ownership. And then third, in the context of purpose. And then lastly, in the context of privilege. So when you think about biblical stewardship, it's about relationship, ownership, purpose, and privilege, right? Relationship, ownership, purpose, and privilege. And we'll go through this fairly quickly, okay? So first of all, thinking about stewardship in the context of relationship. And so we need to understand our stewardship in the context of our relationship with God. That it's not just about giving. It's not just about writing a check. It's not just about going to Venmo and, you know, sending our money to church. It's not just about the giving passage. It's not just about how we utilize 10% of our time in serving God and His purposes, but really understanding our stewardship in the context of our relationship, that everything that we do has to be anchored in our relationship with God. Because when you think about what the writer is saying here, when he is describing God's creation of all things, what this account tells us is that when you think about creation, it's about relationship. Right? Yes, God creates the existing universe and God creates man and woman in His image, but it's about relationship. It points to this fact that we were made for a relationship with God, and that's what sets us apart from every other creature in God's creation. And that really has to be the foundation of us understanding our responsibility and our role as stewards. The foundation of understanding God and His purposes for us, it really has to be anchored in this great reality that we were created for a relationship with the God of this universe. And I want to emphasize that. It's this great reality that we were created for relationship with the God of the universe. And so when we hear that, it should be like, wow. Even if we're hearing it for, I don't know, 100th time, it should really do something within our hearts to realize that, man, God created me for a relationship with Him. I was thinking about an example, and this might be a bad example. It'd be kind of like if you were to talk to any of the husbands in our church, and you think about, well, what do you think about your wife, and why do you think she married you? If they say something like, oh man, I know that I'm not deserving, but man, I'm just blown away that she would choose to marry me. Like if you hear one of the husbands answer it in some fashion like that, you'd be like, oh, he understands, right? Like he understands. But then if he answers that question, you know, to something like, well, you know, of course, it's a given, right? I mean, just look at me. Like, why would she say no? Like, if you heard that, something about you, you know, it would elicit this, like this, almost like this gag reflex, like, you'd really have to pray hard for that wife, right? It should remind us that when we think about this relationship, the reality of the relationship that God invites us to. Man, what an awesome demonstration of His love and His commitment to us. That God declares in Genesis 2, 7 and 8. And so Genesis 1 and 2, they're both accounts of God's creation. Genesis 2 focuses a little bit more specifically on the sixth day when God created man and woman in His image. Genesis 2, 7 and 8 says this, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust, from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And so not only was God, man and woman formed in the image of God, But Genesis 2 now tells us that God planted them in the Garden of Eden, that he put the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden. In other words, after they were created, they were not left to their own devices. God didn't say, well, there you are. Now you go and you live your life and you fend for yourself and you figure out what you need to do. God didn't stay far removed, but God was intimately involved. The place of Eden, it represented the place where the presence of God dwelled and was fully realized. And it uses languages like God walked with them in the garden, all pointing us to this reality that we were created for this relationship with God. We were created to know God and to be known by God. And it's in the context of this relationship that God invites us into his work. He says, now you participate in my work. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. It's in the context of that relationship that he invites Adam to work, to participate with God in the things that he is doing in his creation. And I know that this might sound very basic, but this is so important because if you do not anchor your stewardship in the relationship that you have with God, then it just becomes, we're just doing things for God. We're just mere caretakers. Where we just function to do stuff for God. And so if we have time, sure, we're going to do it. And if we don't, then maybe God will understand. But it's not this reality that God calls us to just do stuff. It's not that God calls us to just lead life group. Or it's not God calling us to just, do volunteer work through our work, volunteering stuff through our work. It's not just God calling us to do stuff, but it's God calling us and inviting us into a relationship. And in that relationship, he says, now you participate in this work with me. Right? That relational aspect makes all the difference in the world because that relational aspect reminds us that it's a God who loves us and cares for us. And his expression of that love and care for us is to invite us to participate with him in that work. It's the relationship that allows us to understand that we are sons and daughters who have the privilege of participating in the joy of his work. The joyful work of our good Father. And it is a joyful work. And so we have to understand that stewardship, it has to be anchored in our relationship with God. And that's why in our faith, right? When you're not anchored in your relationship with God, then the things that you're trying to do, even though, yeah, it might be good things, but sometimes it becomes meaningless. It almost becomes like another thing that you have to do, a thing that you have to check off the to-do list. Right? I have to attend this meeting. I have this, project I need to get done for Pub's team, or, I got to meet up with someone in my life group, and it's just check, 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 check. But if we are able to anchor that in our relationship with God, to realize that God, who loves us so deeply, invites us to experience his joy through our participation in his work, then that becomes different. And so stewardship, it has to be anchored in our relationship with God. It has to be understood, first of all, in our relationship with God, okay? Not only that, but secondly, we need to understand our stewardship through the lens of God's ownership. Through the lens of God's ownership. And so we clearly see in this creation account that it's not just about God creating the world, but it's about God also ruling and reigning over this world that he creates. Look at Genesis 2:16 through 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, and for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" And so it reminds us that God is the one who creates the world, But then God is also the one who sets the boundaries in this world that he creates. And God is the one who determines how we will live in this world that he creates. In other words, God has complete ownership over his creation. Now, I need you to let that sink deep in. Because for many of us, that's where we really wrestle with God, of really trying to understand his ownership, not only over all of creation, but we're part of that creation, right? And that's really the reality that God's word declares over and over again. And this is all in the New Living Translation. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him." Again, Psalm 89:11, "The heavens are yours and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all." And Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and they exist because you created what you pleased." God owns it all. He owns everything, and because God owns it all, we don't have the right to claim ownership of something that is not ours. Right? We don't have right to claim ownership of something that is not ours. Now, Dr. Tony Evans, he talks about how in God's kingdom, there is no shared ownership. There is no partnership, or there is no additional signatories on any titles or deeds. God owns it all. God owns our lives. God owns our future. God owns our thoughts. God owns our desires. God owns our aspirations. God owns it all. But this is really hard, right? Because the truth is that many of us, we struggle to live under this reality. And Dr. Tony Evans, he makes this distinction between so many of us try to attempt to engage in this ownership-based lifestyle. Ownership-based lifestyle, meaning that we're declaring that everything that we have is ours. Our time is ours. Talents are ours. Our treasures are ours. And we're going to spend what we have as if we're owners. And so some of it, yeah, we might try to do good things with it. But others, we're going to spend it because we feel like we own these things. But that's not what God's design for us is. That it's not an ownership-based lifestyle, but it's actually a management-based lifestyle. What God makes very clear to Adam and Eve here is what? They don't own Eden, but they're called to manage it. And that's why when they do a poor job managing it, what happens? They get kicked out. Because it was a privilege for them to be there in the first place. It wasn't a right. And so when they step outside of the boundaries that God created for them, the consequence is what? That they get kicked out. It's a management-based lifestyle instead of an ownership-based lifestyle. And some of you, that's the big challenge. That when you think about your life, when you think about your work, your responsibilities, when we try to have ownership of something that never belonged to us in the first place, all it does is it stresses us out. It brings us to that place where we're constantly battling with so many things that are pulling at us in different directions, and there's a sense of insecurity. We get burnt out because we're trying to have ownership of something that never belonged to us in the first place. And this is so important for us to understand, because not only is it about understanding that God owns everything and that we're called to manage it, but when we live under the reality of God's ownership, what does God say? God says that there is blessings, right? Look at Genesis 1:28. It says, and God blessed them. God blessed the man and the woman. It's not just he created them and he gave them something to do, but he delights over them and he blesses them. In other words, this blessing comes in the context of God creating the world, us living in that world. But we are living in that world according to the pattern that he has established, which is what? That he owns it all. But what happens when we try to wrestle that ownership away from God? We get kicked out of the garden. Right? Adam and Eve, they thought, you know what? Instead of relying on God to tell us what the truth is, we want the knowledge to determine that truth for ourselves. And so instead of living under God's ownership, we want to claim ownership of that which belongs to God in the first place. It'd be kind of like if you came over to my house. Love to have you come over. But then all of a sudden you start going into my closet, picking out clothes that you want to wear, start moving my furniture around, right? Going into my refrigerator without asking me, start bringing out food and cooking a meal for yourself. I wouldn't call the police on you. But I don't think I would ever invite you back. You know what I mean? Like, it's my house. I'm not going to bless you when you try to make my house into your house. And it's the same thing with God. This is so important because do you know how you can have access to God's spiritual blessings? His blessings of grace and mercy, his blessings of his peace in our lives, his blessings of his spiritual power. Do you know how you can have access to that blessing? It's to live your life according to the pattern that he has established. It's not just by reading the Bible more. It's not just by praying more. I mean, those things are important. But ultimately, it's living your life according to the pattern that he has established. And the pattern that he has established is what? That he owns it all. The pattern that he has established that is that he's the owner of our time, our careers, our kids, marriage, our studies, bank account, vacation time, thoughts, over everything. Dr. Tony Evans, he goes on and he says, you will never maximize or cultivate all that God has entrusted to you until you give up the notion that you own anything at all. Right, you will never be effective. Yes, you might have a great career. Yes, you might have a successful marriage, I guess. Yes, you might accumulate wealth and experiences for yourself, but you will never maximize or cultivate all that God has entrusted into your care and make an impact in his kingdom unless you give up this notion that you own anything at all. And that's really hard for us, right? Because I'm sure even as you're listening to this, there's a part of you that fights back a little bit and says, I don't know about that. But do we truly believe that God owns it all? And how do we actually know whether we truly believe that God owns it all or not? And a lot of people say this when you talk to financial advisors, a lot of pastors, even Jesus himself says, well, think about how you spend your money. And that's why he talks about money so much, because it's not just about how you spend your money. But for many of us, money is important. we need it to survive, right? We need it to, you know, experience, I don't know, things that we want to experience in this life. And those aren't necessarily bad things. But Jesus says, when you think about how you spend your money, that'll help you to see exactly where your heart lies and how you understand where your life actually belongs. Whether it belongs in God's hands, whether it belongs in your own hands. It has to be understood in the context of God's ownership. That God is the one who owns, and we're merely called to manage. Not only in terms of God's ownership, but number three, we need to understand our stewardship. We need to understand, that our stewardship shapes our purpose. We need to understand that our stewardship, it shapes our purpose. Or another way to say that is we need to understand our purpose through the lens of stewardship, right? Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Again, in Genesis 2:15 and 6 through 17, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you shall surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You know, the reality is that all of us are driven by purpose. Now, regardless of whether you realize that that is your purpose or not, all of us are driven by purpose. That's how we make decisions in life. It's the purpose that drives us to make decisions, right? And what God makes very clear here is that purpose is not something that you need to try to figure out. The purpose has already been spoken into your life. Because when God created Adam and Eve, he doesn't just leave it up to them. Okay, now you're here, so what are you going to do? What is going to be your purpose here in Eden? No, God spoke that purpose very clearly into their life. To manage his creation. To have dominion. To be faithful stewards. And in the same way that purpose is declared over our lives, this wonderful invitation to participate alongside of what he is doing in the world. So when you think about what is my purpose, your purpose is to be a faithful steward. Now, God gives you freedom how you can do that with the resources and the assets that he entrusts into your care. But the purpose is very clear. And I truly believe this, that your God-given purpose, it's not going to be realized until you understand what it means to be a faithful steward. That your God-given purpose, that it's not going to be realized until you understand that all your resources are God's resources and that he has given you the privilege of managing those resources to build his kingdom. So when you think about opportunities that we have as students, why are we here? What is that purpose? Well, that purpose is to build God's kingdom. And so how we do that, God gives us the freedom because all of us are wonderfully and fearfully made in his image. And so some of us, we have passion for kids. Others of us, we have passion for design. Some of us, we have passion for healthcare. Some of us, we have passion for teaching. Some of us, we have passion to manage money. And so we pursue it in the freedom that God gives us. But the purpose is exactly the same, and that is to build God's kingdom. For those of us who go to work, what is your purpose? Your purpose is to build God's kingdom. Now, he gives you the freedom to do that to the best of your ability in the ways that he has designed you. But if you understand stewardship, you should never wake up in the morning and struggle with, well, what is my purpose for going into work? Now, doesn't mean that work isn't going to be hard. Doesn't necessarily mean that work isn't going to be monotonous at times. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to deal with difficult people at work. That's part of the curse of sin. Because God makes it very clear that because of sin, when Adam and Eve, when they engage in work, that work is going to what? It's going to fight back. But that purpose still stands. And that purpose is to faithfully steward the resources and the assets so that you can participate in the advancement of God's kingdom. And so you need to understand that when you go into work, your purpose in that place, as you deal with those people, as you engage in your responsibilities, it's about expanding God's kingdom. It's about his agenda. And I think the disconnect for many of us is that when we think about approaching life, we think about approaching life through the lens of, well, here's my purpose. My purpose is, I don't know, I want to retire when I'm 50. I just want to be a nomad, travel around the world, right? The latest thing that you read in the news headlines all the time is what? Dual income, no kids. And so you want to retire by 55, you don't want to have the responsibilities of having kids, and you just want to enjoy retirement for the rest of your life. And so if you understand that's your purpose, then everything that you do and how you make decisions, it's going to help you to, what, live out that purpose. And the disconnect for many of us is that as we're trying to live out my purpose, then God becomes what? He becomes the means to me achieving that purpose. And it never works out. It never works out. That's why you get frustrated. That's why it just your relationship with God feels so distant. There is no power in how you live out your life. Because that's not the pattern that God establishes over us. And we see this all the time, right? In how we think about, especially when it, for students, it's always when it comes to time. How am I going to invest my time? Because the way that you invest your time, it's to help you to accomplish your purpose. And so if your purpose is, I want to, I don't know, go to Harvard Law. Or I want to get that job in, I don't know, like Fortune 500. And then you have an exam tomorrow. But then you also have life group tonight. Well, how are you making that decision of how are you going to utilize your time? Well, it's according to how you understand your purpose. And so if your purpose is, I'm going to, I don't know, get 4.0. I need 4.0. And so you're going to do whatever it takes to get that, which means if you skip life group tonight, well, God will understand. Because God is about my purpose. But that's not the reality that God invites us to. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be faithful, right? In work, we shouldn't be faithful. We should steward over our studies well. But if we understand the ultimate purpose is to advance the kingdom of God, then yes, we do that by being a faithful example in how we steward our studies well. But we also do that by stewarding the relationships that God has given into our lives well. So study, but be committed to being present in the lives of your brothers and sisters. for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Whose interests does your life revolve around? Whose interests does your life revolve around? If your life revolves around the interest of your spiritual growth, then you're going to see everything through the lens of that purpose, and you're going to determine, is this place really the place that's going to help me to achieve my purpose of my spiritual growth? And once again, that's not to say that things like spiritual growth, that it's wrong. But at the end of the day, you're taking the things of God and you're just wrapping it in this spiritual wrapping paper and making it look nice when, in fact, it's actually about you and not about God's kingdom. So whose interest does my life revolve around? And all we have to do is just ask, how do we make decisions? And how are we going to engage in time, treasure, and talents and deciding to use those things? To whose benefit? Is it going to benefit you? Or is it to God and his kingdom? All right, we'll talk more about that next week. But we'll close out with this last point, okay? Not only our purpose being shaped by our stewardship, but lastly, we need to understand our stewardship as a privilege and not just a responsibility. It's a privilege and not just a responsibility. Look at Genesis 1:31a. And this is after all the 6 days. God says what? And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. On the first day, it was good. Second day, good, 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 good. Sixth day, it was very good. Now, what is that saying when God says it was very good? God's not just looking at it objectively and saying, you know what? I think that's really good. But it was God delighting over his creation. It was God delighting over his work. Like, it was very good. Not only was it something that's important to him, but it's something that brought pleasure to him. And so think about it. The God of this universe, who didn't need anything, if he never created this universe, he would have been completely fine. But he decided to create this universe. Why? Because he took pleasure in that work of creation. And so when he invites us to participate with him as stewards, it's not just about, hey, you, me telling my kids to mow the lawn. It's not just about us doing the work, but it's an invitation to share in his joy. It was very good. And he says, look, Adam and Eve, I want you to comment. I want you to be involved in experiencing my joy. And seeing it as something that is very good. It's not just about Adam going around and naming all the sheep, cow, pig, dog. But it's taking pleasure in that work. Because God says, man, that is so good. Sheep that's right on, that looks like a sheep. Remember, I think it was two Sundays ago, right? We talked about the parable of the talents. Remember what Jesus said to the faithful servants? Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Right? He says stewardship, it's not just about doing the work. It's not just about a responsibility, but it's a privilege that we get to enter into the joy of the master. And when you think about it in this context, it's not because they're deserving of it, but it's because of the Master's generosity. God invites us into something that we don't deserve in the first place. And that's really the definition of privilege. So once again, biblical stewardship is about the responsibility that God divinely speaks into our lives so that we can faithfully oversee the expansion of his kingdom as we diligently manage all the assets and resources that he entrusts into our care. Then we need to see stewardship through the lens of our relationship with God. Then we need to understand that God is the ownership of everything. Then we need to understand that our purpose is to expand his kingdom, that we need to understand that it's a privilege that God invites us to. So the one thing once again for us is this, that we have been empowered by God to faithfully and diligently manage all the assets and resources under our care. So gospel living, how do we make this personal? There's two things that I want us to think about, and we'll try to flush this out in the coming weeks, the next two Sundays, especially as we go into the One Desire Fast. We want to go a little bit deeper in understanding stewardship. And so next week we're going to talk about how do we understand or steward this vision and this calling that God places in us. But first of all, ownership, God's ownership, right? If stewardship is really about God's ownership, the reality is that all of us have areas in our lives where it's really hard to say, God, I surrender it to you. You have ownership of it. Where in your life do you have a hard time recognizing God's ownership? And I think you can identify those areas of your life when those areas go very wrong, right? When those areas go wrong, and how we react to that hardship or that difficulty or the way that it happened and that's not how we wanted it, and how we respond to it, it'll really show you ultimately who has ownership of that area of your life. Is it you or is it God? Where in your life is God prodding you, challenging you, encouraging you to remind you, hey, I'm the owner. And yes, you need to manage, but ultimately, you manage. So God's ownership, and secondly, our stewardship. And we talked a little bit about this as we were closing out last year, but as you think about the assets and the resources that God has entrusted under your care in this specific season of life, think about the opportunities that you have at work. Think about the relationships that you've been forming. Think about maybe even opportunities that you're exploring in our city of reaching out and being a good neighbor to those around you. Think about the resources that you have. You know, it's the beginning of the new year, right? For those of us, think about maybe the end of the year bonus that you're going to be receiving. Like, what are your initial thoughts in terms of what you're going to do with that resource? I think that's a really good challenge for us to think of. And that's not to say that we can't spend those things for the things that we need, because God gives us the freedom to do that. But at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit says, you know what? I know that you've been saving for this, and I know that you've been planning for this, but this is what I want you to do with my resources. Are you okay with that? Are you being faithful and diligently managing all the assets and resources that God has placed under your care? You know, for those of us who are parents, sometimes the hardest areas is when it comes to our families, whether it's our marriage, our kids, our extended families. And yes, God calls us to be faithful stewards, but also God says, you're a manager. So are you okay with me working in ways where from your perspective, it might not be to the best interest of your parents or your kids or your spouse. But are you willing to trust me? And are you willing to be faithful? God's ownership and our stewardship. Let's pray together. Can you stand with me? Thank you for sitting and listening to me. But like I said, I really feel like this is such an important principle for us to really be wrestling with. Because stewardship is huge. It's going to color everything that we do. It's not just about cutting a check to the church for 10%. No, that's too easy. But God says everything. I demand everything. And that's why we have to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus became man, that he went to the cross to die for our sins, and he rose again to give us new life. God says, I demand everything because I have given you everything. I have given you life that you don't deserve. I have given you future and a hope that you don't deserve. Because I love you. Because I am at work and I'm inviting you to share in my joy. So when God says, can you be a faithful steward over this area of your life when you know that it's really hard for you to surrender, God isn't doing that because he's being mean. But God is doing that because he says, I have given you everything and I'm inviting you to continue to share in my joy. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ reminds us. That God is good. That God is good. So can you surrender? Can you remember over your studies, over your future, over your relationships? Over maybe even questions that you have about God, why does it have to be like this? Can you remember that God says, no, I'm not calling you to engage in an owner style lifestyle, an ownership lifestyle, but it's the management ship lifestyle. Can you be a faithful manager? Let's go to God and let's lift up even the rest of this year. And let's pray, God, as you sharpen us, as you refine us, help us to remember, God, that this year of 2024, that we want to grow as disciples who understand the calling to steward everything in our lives well. About our relationship with you, your ownership of everything, that how our calling to be stewards, it shapes our purpose, gives us meaning, and that we can see it as a privilege and not just a responsibility. So can we pray through that, church? And as you are praying for yourself, let's also pray for our church. Ask God, God, especially as we enter into the One Desire Fast, help us to be faithful stewards of this mission that you have given us to go and to make disciples, to transform lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. So can we do that, church? Let's pray through that a little bit. And then after a little bit, I'll just invite our band to close us out, okay? Let's respond. Let's pray through that together.